love of Jesus Christ and His love for us and what He's done for us, making the great plan of salvation, the plan of eternal life. And I'm so glad this morning He lives in my heart. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Let's sing the song, We Fall Down. Amen. We a lovely, lovely name this morning. Hallelujah to His name. Oh, lovely name of Jesus. For reach and I applaud that the brightest star and its wings and the song clap of praise this morning. Amen. What a lovely name this morning, the name of Jesus Christ. Praise His name. Are you glad to be here this morning? Worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know this is our day that we can come apart from the worldly people and things that we just live in here. We have to put up with a lot of times during the day, during the week. But today we can gather together with brothers and sisters and like precious faith, Sister Molly, and worship Him. Hallelujah. That's right. Right. Just like heaven to me. Amen. How many want to see Him? Praise the Lord. I want to see Him, don't you? Let's sing that song to Him this morning. I believe it won't be long till we'll be seeing Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's let it ring out this morning. Amen. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing to Calvary, to the crimson glow. Another good hand clap. Praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, man. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Take our prayer request at this time. And ask Brother David Whitlock if he would come this morning. As we take these requests, let's remember John Anthony and Lily in Arizona. Remember them this morning. I want to remember Tracy Rabin and her mother today at whatever need there, that God would meet that for them. Brother Matt Cross is working today, so we miss Brother Matt. Also, Ben and Rachel Pritchard are at a family wedding, I believe, in Virginia, so we miss them today. Brother Jeff Jackson is working. We miss Brother Jeff. And we also want to continue to pray for Sister Sherry, looking for a van. The Lord would move for that need. Also, we want to remember Brother Anwar is suffering with sore throat and flu from the past 3 days. He is streaming from home. Please remember him in prayer. So we miss Brother Anwar this morning. We just want to pray God would touch his throat and flu and whatever else is ailing him. And pray God would bless him through the streaming of the service this morning. Amen. We do welcome everyone this morning to the service. God bless you. Pray that each one of you are hungry this morning, thirsty for the good things of God. Amen. What can be more fulfilling than that today? Brother David, if you would come, maybe you have an unspoken request this morning as we pray.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord Father, that we can come here, Lord Father. Father, we count it a privilege, Lord, to be able to come through those doors, Lord, and be able to hear your word spoken here today. Father God, Lord, we've fought the devil all week, fought him even today, Lord Father God. I know we all did, Father, just to get here, Lord Father, because you've got something for us, Lord, he doesn't want us to hear. Lord Father, we just look forward so much to that. Father God, Lord, you've heard these prayer requests. We've got so many brothers are working. We've got sick members. We've got people that are just out. And Lord Father God, we just pray, Lord Father, you just to lift them up, Lord Father, encourage them and bless them. Father God, Lord, you know all the needs here, Father God, all the different families that are affected through each and every situation in their own way, their own needs, Lord Father, they have, Lord Father God, Lord, we just lift them up to you, Father God, because you have control of it all. Lord, Father, Brother Mary brings the word today, Lord. Father, we just look forward to hearing it, Father. Look forward to consuming it, Lord, Father God, and just taking it back out these doors with us, Lord, and being able to apply it to our daily lives. Father God, Lord, we just ask once again you to bless this service, bless our day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's sing it to
him
this morning. His name is one. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is a mighty Master. Seated. My wife is coming to sing. this morning. Amen. I have one announcement. Brother Stephen's Sunday school class will be meeting today at 4 p.m., so remember that if you're in his class. They'll be meeting today at 4 p.m.
Well, I wasn't expecting that.
This song was on my mind this morning. Last night, went to get my songs together. Just one of those times I just wanted to sing everyone in the book, Sister Molly. And sometimes you can't find none, and sometimes you want to sing them all. That's the way it goes. And I thought about this song. What a greater thought this morning, that this is just what heaven means to me. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's all sing it together now. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glad sea?
Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe we need to get a realization of what that's going to be like. Hallelujah. I can only imagine, but it's a good imagination. Praise the Lord. Let's stand as our ushers come this morning. We worship the Lord in our giving. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Brother Andy, if you would pray over the offering this morning. Hallelujah. Let's sing, "We've Got the Power in the Name of Jesus." Amen. Hallelujah. Give me your hand. Let's agree together that all of our enemies will crumble at our feet. Whatever we find on earth will be bound in heaven at the name of Jesus. Satan has defeat. Oh, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power. But the bride of Jesus still alive, like a mighty army, we keep marching onward, winning every battle, 'cause the Lord's on our side. The power in the name of Jesus. We got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We got the power. Praise His name this morning. As Brother Barry gets ready to come, let's sing that song, "More of You, More of You." I mean, feel like you need more of Him. Always feel that way. Lord, I want more of You, more of You. Hallelujah. Let's sing it. More of You. More of You, Yes, Lord, we want more of you today. Oh, please, I have my fear. But yet I hunger still. If we had there, Lord, hear my prayer for more of you.
Yes, I want more. Father, we probably could ask nothing greater than, Lord, to have a greater portion of your Spirit in our lives, and Lord, for your presence to be among us. In the name of Jesus Christ, now we bring every spirit under your control, asking, Father, that you would just come and speak to us. Speak to us in the volume of the book. Guide our minds, guide our hearts, Lord, I pray. Lord, be with my mouth and the words that are said today. Lord, may it be according to your perfect will in all things. We commit the day into your hands, Lord. We bind it together like an offering, and we just lay it at your feet today. And say, come and consume our day, Lord. Just come and fill this place, Lord, with your presence. And just make your word very real, very rich, Lord, as only you can. There are many needs among us, Lord. Some of them are spoken. Perhaps more of them are never spoken. But Lord, you know all about what we go through, and you know the valleys we travel through. You know the blessings we enjoy. You know the successes, Lord, that we experience. Lord, we know there's not a thing in the world we could hide from you. So we just lay it all at your feet today in confidence and in trust, and ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Let's sing that this morning.
Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. Heal me.
A healer today. Let's take your Bible, if you don't mind. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17. John, just turn me up just a shade there. John chapter 17, and we'd like to read that little portion of Israel, or sorry, of the passage of Jeremiah chapter 17, where he speaks to Israel. We welcome all of you to the house of the Lord this morning. Good to have all of you here today, and trust that the day will be rich and full for you, and trust that you'll be blessed, and say at the end of our day, it has been good for us to be in the house of the Lord. All right, Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. And they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated. Hold that thought now just for a moment here. The Stevens family are not here today. They have been away over the last couple of days due to work, and they, Lord willing, will be here tonight. Sister Sister Stevens, has a problem with her neck, and driving excessively aggravates that, as people who have the same condition know. And so we've been asked to remember her in prayer as well. Brother Anwar is not here. Family is here, right? But Brother Anwar is not here. So when Brother Anwar is not here, he's not feeling well. So we want to remember him in prayer. Sister Anita Gill, who is, some of you will remember, the Gills were here for a marriage banquet that we had from New York. They're in Brother Anwar's group up there in New York City. Sister Anita had valve surgery this week in her heart and came through it very well. But Brother Anwar asked us to remember her in prayer. She's still in hospital. She's still there recovering, but she's done very well. So we've been asked to remember her in prayer. All right. After much preparation, we finally have information for you about our Hickory Bible Tabernacle Family Day. This day is in place of Adventures in the Bible this year. We're not able to have it because we don't have our fellowship hall done, and we've got a lot of mud and construction here, and if we run into bad weather or something, we're in a lot of trouble. And so we decided this year to take a day. That day is June 23rd on a Saturday. It starts at 10 a.m. in the morning and goes through till the max, 8 p.m. that night, to give us time to get down off the mountain and be ready for service the next day. It's being held at Camp Broadstone up in Banner Elk. It's a beautiful place in a beautiful area, and we have a full day planned for you. Everything you need to know and more besides is on these two sheets that are available in the library after church, one per family, okay? Everything you need to know and more besides are on these sheets. So you can pick one up after church. Make sure you do, because it'll answer all the questions. It has an agenda for the day. But if I tell you what's on the sheets, you won't need to go get the sheets, right? So go get yourself a sheet afterwards. Everyone is welcome. Everyone's to be involved. This is not just for children or young people. This is for everybody. It's for the families here in the church. So that includes everybody. And we want you to make it a point to blank out that day and come on and join us for the events over the day. That will be a blessing to you, I'm sure. Now, also today, we want to deal with a couple of subjects here that I trust will be a blessing to you. And I mentioned on Wednesday night, for those of you that are here, we have some activity in the world that's going on related to volcanoes and earthquakes. And we are blessed in our assembly here with people who understand more about those things than I do. And so tonight we're going to have the first of a couple of presentations on that subject. And so it'll be very timely. It'll be very current. There are things that are happening in the earth that are really of interest, especially when you look into Scripture and see how much volcanoes and earthquakes and so forth are a part of prophecies, especially about the last day. So we're going to have the first one of those tonight. So we want you to come along. Be a little bit different, but we trust it'll be a blessing to you. Because I don't want to get up and sound like I'm an expert on this subject. I'm really not. We can look at what the Scripture said and what Brother Branham talked about in this last day, and we certainly do that. But I wanted you to have another perspective as well, which is the perspective that happens in the real world, geophysically, and to be able to look at things as they really are. And to be able to tie that together and to see how things are happening. Because remember, whatever happens in the world looks at it one way, we look at it another way. And we interpret everything through the Word of God, because modern events are made clear by prophecy. And so we look at everything through that filter. We look at everything that way. Sister Molly, it's good to have you here today. Good to have you on the back in your regular seat. And may the Lord bless you. Good to be able to have you amen in the word this morning. And it's a blessing to have you here. So may the Lord richly bless you. Now, we're going to do something a little bit different here today, but that's not unusual. Let me just give you a couple of quick announcements here. First of all, Brother Larry's 50th anniversary was yesterday, right? God bless you, Brother Larry. Just wanted to mention that again. And then the 13th is your birthday. Special week for you. Too bad we're not having a dinner today. You'd be first in line, that's for sure. But God bless you. We appreciate you very much. Brother Richard Smith's birthday. There he is, Brother Smith. God bless you. We appreciate you very much. 15th? Really? We need to change that. But God bless you anyway. And Sister Nayab, right? What? On the 15th. See, I knew that. God bless you both. 16th is Sister Christy. Good to have her back on her birthday on the June 16th. And then James and Patricia O'Berry are Sister Stephen's parents. And they are—they follow along in our church and so forth. They're just not able to attend because of their physical limitations. But we certainly want to pray that the Lord will bless them on their anniversary on the 16th as well. All right. Are we ready for the word? Are you excited? Happy to be here? Make sure you inform your face now during the service today. All right? I sent this out and had this request even from other folks in other churches, people who stream. They wanted to have the notes about breaking the cycle of depression and fear. And it is not a complete study, but it's more than what we're going to go into today and what we've been into. So I want to deal with this subject again, and I want to deal with it in the sense of overcoming. And how do we overcome this? It's important for us to recognize what it is that we experience in life, and sometimes we go through things that are obvious. If you break a bone, you got a broken bone. The doctor will tell you, this is it, you got a broken bone. But there are other things that we go through that are not always as clear. They're not always as forthright. They're not always as easily defined as other things we go through. And very often those are problems within our mind, in our spirit. There are sometimes spiritual problems that can be very obscure. We don't even know whether it's Satan or God who's dealing with us. And sometimes we face problems that you just got to go to prayer for. And you got to say, Lord, if this is you, I need to know clearly so I can act on this. But if this is the enemy, then I need to stand strong and rebuke him, because we know that this does not come from God. So there are tactics that are in place here. But there's a key. And I'm going to give you the key this morning. And I was just excited when I saw this key. My granddaughter, who's with us today, Eliza, and William is here also. Eliza asked me what I was going to preach on today. And I said, watermelons and cucumbers. And she said, really? And I said, yes. And she said, how to grow them? And I said, no, how to use them. She just kind of thought for a minute. And I said, when is the last time you've ever had anybody talk to you about cucumbers or watermelons and cantaloupe? She said, never have. Never heard a sermon on that. And I said, well, it's high time we did it. So let's take a look here. Brother Branham said it wasn't meant for you to have peace here. Peace like eternal heavenly peace. Peace like the millennium will be. A space without Satan. That's what he's referring to. It was not meant for you to have peace here. If you did, you'd get customized to the world. Carve out a nice place, go up Montana, find yourself a cave, live like a prepper and not have anything to do with anybody else. If you did, you'd get customized to the world, you'd learn to adapt. But God doesn't want you to be customized to this world. You know why? Because he has something better for you. Not because he wants to make you uncomfortable, but because he has something way better for you. And he wants you to long for that. He wants you to rest in him and come to him, and then you'll have peace. That's the only time you'll have peace. Christian, sinner friend, lawyers, doctors, whoever you are, there's been much mockery in the name of divine healing. He said, in every phase of religion, but there's a power of the Holy Spirit that delivers the human being from the bondage of sin, that delivers the sufferer from his suffering. How many believe that? Now, you're going to have to amen me today, because I need to know you're following me along as we go through there. There's all kinds of mockery in religion, right? You know, when somebody gets up there and says they need $54 million for a jet, and he wants his congregation to do that, I just, you know, I go like this every time I see something like that. Because it just further discredits the real true thing. It's just a mockery of what really should be. And it's just so much of that, and it's just so pervasive in our society. A lot of people walk away from it. And in some ways, you can hardly blame the people for not having confidence in some of the ministries that are out there. And Brother Branham goes on to say this in 1949, and I do not see how that the clergy could preach the gospel without including divine healing in the atonement. I do not see how the clergy could preach the gospel without including divine healing in the atonement, because he was wounded for our transgressions, and with his stripes we are healed. It's an act of faith that heals you. Remember now, I got a key for you. And he said, it's an act of faith that heals you. So how can you, in reality, how can you preach salvation through the atonement of Calvary's cross without including divine healing in that atonement? Because Jesus himself and the scriptures connected to the atonement for sin and the healing of the body, they both go together, right? They're in the same divine act that God performed, and they're both true. If one is true, they're both true, right? We believe that. And it's an act of faith that heals you. It's not a physical act. It's an act of faith that heals you. And so it's important for us to understand how that they're connected together. And I know people that preach salvation, are very, very big on salvation, but don't believe in divine healing at all. And they can talk to you all day and witness to you all day about salvation and give them a prayer cloth for healing, and they'll turn away from you. They'll reject it. They'll hold their hands up and say, no, we don't believe that that's possible today. We don't believe that God does that today. I've seen that, and I know that that's true. And yet here the basic understanding of Scripture implies to us, it convinces us that there is healing in the stripes that Jesus bore. Now, we don't always understand things like that, but nonetheless, they are true. And we accept them and we believe them as believers. Now, we talk about, whenever we talk about divine healing, we talk about sickness, our minds tend to gravitate towards physical diseases. And that certainly is true, and it's certainly a part of it, but it's not all of it. There are things that Jesus died for that even though the world may not understand, and even though we don't readily include all things, we know that there are mental diseases. There are problems of the mind, problems of the spirit, troubling of the spirit. There's also spiritual warfare that goes on. And we believe that God is interested in all of the battles that you face and all of the struggles you go through. He's interested in going with you through every valley that you travel. He's interested in helping you out of every place of despondency that you can find yourself. Right? Do you believe that? So it doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter what kind of a calamity or what kind of a problem you have. You can always come to Him, and He's already made a way for us. And we are thankful for that. Now, again, there's a key for all of these, not just the one here. When Brother Branham was, in the prayer line, many times people wanted to see physical miracles. And many times those were the things that got the attention. They got the limelight. If somebody had blinded eyes or no eyeballs, and all of a sudden they could see and they could run around and see, or they had no voice and now all of a sudden they could say something, or they had no hearing and all of a sudden they could hear, that was a spectacular thing. If somebody had polio and they were walking along on crutches and all of a sudden they could throw down their crutches and they could run across the platform, that's an exceptional thing. But you know what? If somebody had a case of depression and they came across the platform and they were clouded with a dark cloud that only Brother Branham could see, and all of a sudden that cloud was lifted because the truth was made known to them, I believe it would equally be as great a miracle, but not as spectacular to the audience. Right? Because we really, in a sense, we kind of have no verification by looking at the thing. We have no verification of saying, Well, you know, I mean, it could be any one of you. It could be any one of us that stands there and really struggles with things, you know, that maybe your whole life you've been a melancholy kind of a person, and part of it is your birth sign, part of it is your upbringing, part of it is just who you are, and you come across the platform and you just, you know, it's there. You don't even know it's a problem sometimes. And yet, a prophet could look at that and see that dark cloud over you for a reason. It's there. All of a sudden say some things to you, lay hands and pray for you, and walk out, no more dark cloud. Nobody else in the congregation would take note of that. Nobody else would see it, but it would be a healing nonetheless. We'd have to ascribe it to the supernatural power of God, wouldn't we? Good to have the Swaffords here. Missed you when you were away. So we count it no less of a miracle. We also would have to say that if somebody's going through a battle spiritually, if they're going through a difficult time spiritually, then to see them have the victory over something, that equally would be a great thing, wouldn't it? But again, it would not be something as dramatic as somebody who has one leg shorter than the other and it grows right there and they run across the platform and pitch their crutches away. Or, you know, Brother Branham looking out the window and seeing truckloads of wheelchairs and crutches going down the road in South Africa and seeing the great things that happen. Or even Sidney Jackson describing how that they had horizontal lightning right in the audience where the great crowds were gathered. And Brother Branham said, Sidney Jackson said, even dogs that walked through with crippled legs came out on the other side running, completely made whole. Absolutely incredible things that took place. But I say this to you today, that healing comes from God, and healing is great no matter what the condition actually is. And all of us go through things. We can never say, and I'll prove it to you here in a little bit, we can never say, well, here it is here. Brother Branham said there's none of us that's immune from troubles. How many can say amen? Even if you personally don't deal with it, you probably know somebody who does. In your family, somebody, you know, tightly related to you. There's none of us that are immune from troubles. God has not promised to excuse us from all sickness, but it is written that His strength is sufficient. And He will never put so much on us that He will give us grace, but He will give us grace to bear. And so we have that consolation of knowing. We have that assurance that He will never put so much upon us, but He will give us grace to bear. That's a great thing, that God will never give you too much. Comes close sometimes, but He'll never give you too much. Make you desperate, yes, sir, but never give us too much. Because that would defeat God's purpose. All right, here's an example now. Here's an example. And I've told you this story before about black diphtheria. It was one of the most horrible scourges that ever came across the wilderness era in North America, in Canada especially, and in Alaska and foreign places there. Black diphtheria was a terrible disease that caused death. There was no cure for it back in the early days. And in Canada, this was a big issue. And Brother Branham was called in one time, and this was in Canada, he was called in one time to pray for a boy who had this black diphtheria. And they were in kind of an isolation stage when they had black diphtheria at this point in the progress of the disease. And they would have to go in and robe up, and they'd have to have a mask and a gown and all the rest of it. And they were trying to prevent the spread of the disease, the contagion. And so, therefore, Brother Branham was called in by a minister and his wife who were in the room, and their son was laying in the bed dying of black diphtheria. Remember now, no cure. And so Brother Branham goes into the hospital room, and he says, they took me in, they robed me up with all kinds of stuff over me, washed my hands, walked into where the boy was, and I said to the parents standing there, I said, do you believe? And the minister said, ask God, Brother Branham, ask God. And I knelt down and I started to pray. And I was praying and the angel of the Lord came down and said, you shall live. And I got up and said to the man, did you hear that? So it was Brother Branham who actually said it, you know, with his voice, you shall live. And he said, yes, sir. He said, praise God, praise the Lord. And he started to get happy, started to rejoice. Now remember, this boy 5 minutes ago was dying. Right? With a horrible disease, no cure. The nurse comes back in. This is not a very nice nurse. Comes back in. She said, maybe she had to work that day. She's supposed to be off, whatever else. But he said, I'm sorry, but you all will have to go right away, especially Reverend Branham. And I said, thank you, ma'am. So Brother Branham leaves the room here. This is in Manitoba, Canada in 1898. This was how doctors very often got around up on the prairies up there. And this was a famous pitcher called the Black Killer. And that's what black diphtheria was actually called back in that day. And this is a very famous photograph here because the only hope they had were certain containments that they had within the medical field back at the turn of the century. As a matter of fact, for those of you that are in the field, in the time of the late 1800s, early 1900s, medicine was still very primitive. And the medical procedures were still very primitive. This was the days after the Civil War, and, you know, we don't need to go into details about how they handle the wounded in the Civil War, but it was pretty crude. And the turn of the century here, things were not greatly improved. So Brother Bram started walking out, and the man started walking out behind him, and he's just thanking God. And he's vocal. He said, "Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord." And the mother was just as happy as he was, and she was shouting. I don't know how exuberant she was in shouting. I've seen people shout to really shout the house down. He doesn't say that. But, I mean, she's happy, and this is not just a passive quietly saying something. I mean, he describes it as they're happy and shouting. And the nurse said to her, and you can read the details of this story. It was kind of like this. Do you realize that your boy's dying? And she begins to chastise everybody who's there, especially Brother Branham. And the mother said, sure, I know what you said. And they were happy, and they were shaking hands, and they were hugging one another, and thanking God for his healing, and the boy was just dying right out. And they're looking at this, the nurse is looking at this situation, and looking at these people, and looking at this situation, and looking at these people. And so he said, well, what are you so happy about? Because now the doctor had arrived on the scene here. What are you so happy about? Do you understand that the doctor had said your boy will be dead in 2 hours? And said, I understand what you said, is the father now speaking to the doctor. I understand what you said, and I understand what God said. And he said, well, look, it's all right to have faith, but I don't see how you can just ignore such things as that when your boy's laying here dying. And the man turned around and said, which was a minister, and said, sir, looky here. That cardiogram shows the heart. And when that heart drops down, in all the world's history, there's never been a time that has ever come back up. Never been a time somebody's been healed. Death is on the boy right now. Look, sir, you're looking at that chart. I'm looking to a divine promise to what God had said. And they had a word from the Lord that this boy was going to live. And so no matter how it's going to happen, they believed it, and they already acted on the good news that they'd gotten fresh from God, that this boy's going to live. And you know what? The boy lived, walked out of the hospital, and they were very thankful for that. And Brother Bam tells that story a number of different places here. Now, so knowing that now, we come to a word here, the atonement, that I need you to hang on to, because here's the key. I'm going to embed it early in the sermon here so that we don't get worn out, you don't get too hungry. God Rich in Mercy, 1965. I'm going to spread this quote out now on a couple, two screens, but I need you to hang on to it, hang on to the idea. He sent forth Jesus to be both Savior and Healer. Somebody say amen. He sent Jesus to be both Savior and Healer. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man lifted up for that same purpose. So in other words, the serpent on the pole was an expression of atonement by God. It was a reparation. A reparation means that there is an attempt to repair a breach or something that is incorrect, something that is not right. It's an attempt to correct that thing by putting something in place to atone for that. So in other words, if there's, for instance, if I owed Joseph here $500 and I told him I was going to pay him, but I couldn't pay him, and I feel bad, and of course he feels bad, and he probably feels way worse than I do, but I feel bad and he feels bad, and Emmanuel comes around because Emmanuel's a friend of both of us, and he says, hey, let me try to make amends. I'll give you $250 now, and then next week I'll give you $250. Your brother Barry can't do it. Will that be okay? He's making an attempt at repairing something that's wrong. And I can't fix it. I can't do it. And he can. So he's extending himself. It's a reparation. He's trying to repair something that's wrong. And you know what? He didn't do anything wrong. But he's interceding on behalf of a need that he sees somebody else have. So that's going to appease Joseph, at least temporarily. Thanks, Emmanuel. So look at it this way. When God did certain things, he put an attempt to repair, an attempt to make something better. He put it in there, and he didn't have to, but he did. Now stay with me here as we understand the definition. He, the atonement, that's what we have claim upon, nothing but the atonement. So if we're going to make a claim now when it comes to divine healing, because that's what this is about, he's both Savior and healer. And if you have need of healing, whether it's for a spiritual oppression, whether it's for a mental problem, whether it's for a physical problem, no matter what you suffer with, he's a healer today the same as he ever was, right? We know that. We don't have any doubt about that, right? We're not dealing with a historic concept of God here. We're dealing with a very present God. And is able to be called upon in a time of need, right? He's both Savior and healer. And this atonement that Jesus performed, this act on Calvary's cross, is the only thing that we can claim. That's what he's telling us here. It's very important. That he, the atonement, that's what we have claim upon, nothing but the atonement. So, in other words, I can't go to Emmanuel and say, Emmanuel, I got a right for you to pay him $250. I can't say that. Because I don't have a right over his money. I can't do that. The only thing I can do is I can plead with Emmanuel, because I know Emmanuel is a suave, charismatic, independently wealthy, handsome, wealthy young man. And so therefore I can appeal to him. I could come to him and say, Emmanuel, listen, buddy, I know you got the money. And I'm in a spot. Joseph's, you know, he's kind of touchy, and he's got friends who are lawyers and things like that. So if you don't mind, like, would it be possible? And I come to him with askance. I'd come to him and petition him, because I know he's able. But I can't come and demand something from him because, you know, and say, well, I got my rights. I'm entitled to you giving your money to pay my debt to him. I don't have entitlement to that, right? I don't have the right to that. So therefore, he, the atonement, that's all we have claim upon. Nothing but the atonement. What Jesus purchased by his blood, that's what we have claims upon. Because he died for us, right? He died for you. Freely, he did that. He was wounded for our transgressions. It doesn't even say he was wounded for our transgressions if you believe the message of the hour. Or he was wounded for our transgressions if you go to church. He didn't say that. He just said he was wounded for our transgressions. In other words, anybody can claim this. And that's why Brother Branham said people who were unbelievers and never been in church came into his meetings and walked away with their healing, because they claim things on the basis of the atonement. Not on the basis of their conduct. Not on the basis of the church. Not on the basis of whether their father or grandfather was a pastor or a preacher. They claimed it on the basis of the atonement, to shed blood, because that's what Brother Branham preached. That's how he taught divine healing. And people came in and walked in and said, I believe that, and claimed their healing and walked out healed. Now watch now. He said, that's what we can claim, because that's the atonement. That's what we stand, that we stand for, ordered for us. Why? He said, that's God rich in mercy. So you folks need to understand this, and you need to get this clear in your mind, that if we have a petition to God, if we have a petition that we want to give to God, go to him not on the basis of the fact that, well, I believe Malachi 4 and I got an eagle belt buckle and I've got a Malachi 4 license plate holder out there. Lord, hello. Don't go to him on that basis here. Go to him and say, Lord, your prophet told us that the atonement is the only thing I can claim. That's the only basis upon which I'm coming to you, is that the atonement has been made on my behalf, and I'm coming to claim that. And so, Lord, that's why I'm here. I'm not here because I'm a better person than somebody else. I'm not here because I've had a stellar week. Anybody here had a stellar week? You know, no bad thoughts, no temptations, no unkind words. Everybody's smiling, right? Nobody's had a stellar week. And we don't come to, for smart, we don't come to God on the basis of our performance, or our works, or our success. We don't come to God based on that. Here's how you come to God. You come to God based on the only thing that we have a claim to, and that's the atonement. All right? This is how divine healing works. Now, hang on to this quote here, as we're not done. So here's some examples of atonement. In the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, God told the children of Israel down there, Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of the altar each year. I got something on my screen here. With the blood of the sin of offering of atonements, once a year shall he make atonement for it. You remember now, here's Israel. The way Brother Branham described this and the way the Hebrew language is that all Israel kind of waited out there while a high priest went in and sprinkled blood on the horns of the altar. And if it was accepted, in other words, if the high priest came back out alive, then there was an acceptance of the atonement. But it was always kind of a tense thing because nothing in the Old Testament was done by grace. It was done by law, right? So they kind of looked at this and say, is everything right? Was he dressed right? Did he walk right? Did he say the right things? Did he sprinkle the right blood? All of that. And they waited outside until he came back out. And then they, another year. We can go through another year now. But that was an example of atonement. God put it right in the book of Exodus there in the beginning. Here's another one. As I said, the fiery serpent. And they set the serpent upon a pole made out of brass, and it should come to pass that everyone was bitten. In other words, we're in a time of judgment here. This is a negative thing, and the people are crying out to God. It's a negative thing, and they're looking to God for deliverance and relief of this terrible plague that they're all of a sudden they've encountered. And now they have this atonement on the pole there, which symbolized Calvary, right? It wasn't Calvary, but it symbolized Calvary. Here's another one. Brother Branham said that at this pool of Bethesda, he said, there lay a great multitude of impotent folk who were there, blind and halt and withered and so forth. And they all waited until the angel came down in a certain season and troubled the waters. He stirred the waters. Whoever got in when the trouble... I mean, that's kind of a... It is an unusual thing. You got to admit. And it was in place prior to Calvary. So this was a strange phenomenon, really. And whosoever got in there first. You can imagine the feelings people must have had if they got in second. Even if they got in a close second, right? I'm not making light of this, but I mean, the person who got in first, were they better people? Were they people who were smarter? We could probably say the only thing they were faster. So, is this grace to the fastest? Because, I mean, that's what it was, right? The people who are quick of mind. You know some people who are quick of mind? They never miss a thing. As soon as it happens, they got it, you know, and they can respond to it. And say, they should be trial lawyers, really, because they can react to things. I'm not a trial lawyer. I shouldn't be a trial lawyer. But I know people who should be trial lawyers because they observe everything. They remember every detail. I remember one time I went to Tanzania with Brother Aaron McGarry. And it had been 15 years since Brother Aaron was with me in Tanzania. And I began to talk to him about a certain subject in the scripture. And he said, yeah, you spoke about that last time we were here. Hey, buddy, I don't even remember you being with me here 15 years ago, let alone what I spoke on. Some people are like that. They have minds like that. Never forget a thing. You don't want to marry those kind of people either. Now, just let me... hope Aaron's not streaming today. I'm only joking. Now, let me just say this, that I don't mean to make light of this, but it is unusual in the sense that this is healing for the fastest. And thank God that's not the way healing occurs today. Because some of us who are slow of mind and cautious to act on things, we'd never attain our healing, right? It wouldn't certainly be healing for the polite. So, this is all under, in a sense, it's all under the New Testament, the Old Testament actions there prior to Calvary, prior before the atonement was made. But look at how Paul describes the atonement now in Romans chapter 5. He switches here. God commandeth his love towards us. This is not mentioned with atonement in the Old Testament. But now he says, God commandeth his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more now, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Paul looks at this and say, hey, this is an expression of God's love, that He would justify us by His blood and redeem us back to Himself, because we were enemies, but now we're reconciled. Now He's made the reparation. He's now redeemed us back to Himself again through this blood, and we are saved because of that. And not only so, but we joy now because we have the atonement. What a great thing! Because one man, by His voluntary act of love, entered into the world, death, and experienced death. He said, now death is past, He said, so death passed upon all men have sinned, but now we are saved by the grace of God. Wow, what a great thing this is. And Paul is saying, hey, we don't realize how blessed we are to have this atonement now. This is not like the Old Testament, folks. This is not God reacting to some judgment event in the earth, but God's love. Even when you were sinners, God loved you and made this atonement for you and set you free from sin. What a great thing. And in this atonement now is healing. And don't forget it, Paul said, because if the package applies to you, you get everything that's in the package. Here's the other half of the quote that I started a little while ago. This was to be an eternal atonement. Now, I take that to mean that whatever this atonement included, it includes it today. Okay, today, right here in this service. Because He came Himself in the form of sinful flesh to make an eternal atonement, and suffered in the flesh and made the atonement and returned back in the form of the Holy Ghost to confirm that atonement. Where no brass or no troubled waters could do it. It all pointed to the perfect atonement. The serpent on that pole pointed to Calvary. The troubling of the waters, it pointed to Calvary. The high priest sprinkling blood in the tabernacle, that pointed to Calvary. How many would agree? Oh, He said it was God rich in mercy. It was God telling us all the time in the Old Testament, it's coming, it's coming. It's going to be a great thing when it comes. It's going to be an eternal atonement, not a temporary thing that the priest is going to have to sprinkle again and again and again. And we have, an answer when we cry out to God, and God gives us something like a brass serpent on a pole. This is going to be an eternal thing. In other words, it's going to be here forever. And it'll be available to people in 2018. What does it depend on? Watch. When Jesus come dealing with sin at Calvary, He killed sin and every attribute that goes with it and completely redeemed us back to God. Quite a sentence there really, isn't it? It should be in yellow. Let's reread it. When Jesus came dealing with sin at Calvary, He killed sin and every attribute that goes with it and completely redeemed us back to God. All the redeemed, I need you to raise your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. And today, we are sons and daughters of God, perfectly redeemed by a perfect Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I need all the redeemed to do it one more time. Put your hand up and say, thank you, Jesus. Because you didn't do that. He did it without money, without price. Thank you, Jesus. Why wouldn't we be happy? We have good news. This is the good news, right? Now, we have not got it in full. We don't have it in full. How do you know you don't have it in full? Because if you had it in full, you'd have a new body. You wouldn't grow old. You wouldn't get sick again, right? You wouldn't have glasses. We have not got it in full, but we have the earnest of it. We have the earnest of our salvation. Now, we are not a past temptation, neither are we above sin. We are not past temptation, neither are we above sin. But Jesus will help us in every temptation, and everybody breathed an amen. And now, when I do wrong, I'm ready to repent, and anybody else wants to live right with God. Anybody else is that wants to live right with God. In other words, it's available. It's still available today. I believe it's still available. If you want to live right with God, hey, this is available for you today. And whenever you go through a temptation, whenever you're ready to repent for your sin, you know what? You can do it. And anyone else wants to experience that can do it with God. You don't desire to do wrong. But when Satan upsets you somewhere, because there is an atonement, If I confess my wrong, God's just to forgive it. I got to read that again. Don't drift from me now. This is the most important quote of all the service. It's right here. Listen to me now. Watch. Everybody scratched. Everybody with me? You don't desire to do wrong. But when Satan upsets you somewhere, there is an atonement. Thank God there is an atonement somewhere. Because remember now, it's an eternal atonement, right? It's an eternal atonement. So therefore, it's got to be around somewhere. If I confess my wrong, God's just to forgive it. And the same thing when you get sick. It's no sign you're immune from sickness. I must have hit a delete there. None of us are immune from sickness, but every time God is willing to deliver you from that sickness. Every time God is willing. Every time you go to God and ask Him, then He's willing to deliver you because there is an atonement. And notice what he doesn't say. Every time you go to God, ask Him, then He's willing to deliver you because you go to church. He doesn't say that. Because you pay your tithes. You're current on your bank account and your tithes. That's not what he says. He doesn't say, you go to God because you got it all right this week. You had a stellar week. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say because you believe Malachi 4. He doesn't say that. But He comes to us and delivers us because there is an atonement. Remember now, the atonement's the only thing we can claim, right? It's based upon your faith in the atonement, which is your redemption. It's based upon your faith in that atonement. It's based upon your faith in the atonement. That's the key. Your healing for depression, your healing for sickness, is based upon your faith in the atonement, which is your redemption. It is not based on your conduct. It is not based on your action. It is not based on your brains or your attendance. And if we know this joy that we have, just being the earnest money, what will it be when we draw the full benefit of the policy? Joseph, come on up here. I need you here. Mitchell, come on up here. I need you. I need two volunteers. Joseph, I need you to stand right here, okay? And I need you to kind of face this way, a little bit right there, so we can get your smiling face on the camera. Come on over here. Here's two guys. Two guys in the world. How old are you?
15.
How old are you?
22.
Really? Wow. Okay. Roughly the same height. We're not immune from temptations, right? We're not immune from sickness. So it's really true. If this was two types of sin that were the same, you could have it and you could have it because you're not immune from temptation. Now, he's a believer. He's not. Okay, just pretend. You all right?
Yeah.
This is just pretend. But Brother Branham said that you're not immune from temptation. So therefore, both of you are subject to temptations. Both of you are. I need God. We all need God. But I need God. Oh. World's falling apart. You know that? Josh, last time I had needed a God, you were the one who took the ball. You remember? You have somebody with a beard. That's our stereotype. You just sit there and be God. You don't have to say anything in this. So now, all I want to do is just demonstrate the fact here that this atonement, it depends on what kind of faith you have in it. Okay? Because that's going to achieve your healing or your deliverance. But now, if we read it right here, what's on the screen here, same thing when you get sick, you're not immune from sickness, you're not immune from temptation. But every time you get into problems, you have an atonement because the atonement is eternal. That's what we teach here in the church. You're not a believer, so you might not know that. But it's based on the atonement and our belief in this because it's an eternal atonement, right? So this atonement is still good today, same as it ever was the day Jesus died on Calvary. So that's really true. But now, the atonement is no good to you, Mitchell, until you believe it, until you apply it in your life. It's no good. It can be an eternal atonement, and it can be available and accessible now. It can have value now, but it's no good to you unless you believe it, right? So these two guys then, because they're guys and they live in the world, are exposed to all kinds of things and they're not immune from temptation. So both of them can be tempted. And this is the result of temptation and this is the result of temptation. Same thing. But he doesn't believe in the atonement because he's not a believer. So you know what? Because he got into trouble, because he got into sin, that's yours. You can't give that away. You can't lay it down and walk away. Because there's only one way to get rid of sin. Right? There's only one way to be forgiven of sin. Right? The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that... So you know what, buddy? You're stuck with that. That's yours now. Because you got to have it for the rest of your life because you have no way of getting rid of it. You couldn't pay enough money. You couldn't do enough good works. You couldn't do anything to get rid of that because that's yours. There's only one way to get rid of sin. Now, Mitchell's a believer, though. So you know what he can do? When he wants to get rid of this thing, he realizes, all right, I've fallen to that temptation. And it's hard for a young man. And he knows that. But he realizes, I don't want to live this way. Where do you go? Go to God. And you know what you can do? You can lay that sin down at the foot of the cross. Lay it down at the foot of the cross. All right, Mitchell, come on back here. Now, he's free. He's justified as though he never did it in the first place. Turn around. Turn around. No cantaloupe. Freed, right? You know why? Because it depends on his faith in the atonement. And if he believes that Jesus Christ atoned for his sin, and he now sits at the right hand of on the throne, right? Then he can take that and give it to God. And you know what? He's free. Thank God I'm free. But you know what? He doesn't believe in the atonement because it's all based on what? Your faith in the atonement. All right. So let's say now that as they go through life, a little bit further along, things get a little sketchier. Things get a little rough because life's tough. And the devil, he doesn't like either one of you guys, right? He wants to keep you in sin. He wants to drag you into sin even in a greater way. That's a bigger deal now. You're not immune from temptations, right? None of us are. We're not immune from sickness. We're not immune from temptation. So now we got a bigger problem. My goodness. And you know what? He's stuck with that because he's got no way to get rid of sin. How do we get rid of sin? Through the blood of Christ. He doesn't know that. And even if he does know it, he doesn't believe it because he's not a believer. Hey, he can be a churchgoer. Right? But he doesn't really believe it. Let's just say he doesn't really believe it. So therefore, he's stuck with this for life. Because he doesn't have any way to get rid of sin. He can't buy his way out. He can't work his way out. He can't talk his way out. He's stuck with that. You know what? That's his for life. Julian, if you were his buddy in sin, you can't even go take that and you own it because you don't have any. And he's got two. He's got one big one. Well, he can't get rid of that. You know what? He's stuck with that for life. But Mitchell's a believer. So even when he makes a mistake, where does he go? Back to the cross. Amen. And you know what? Thank God I am free. Free. Turn around, Mitchell. No watermelon. I mean, isn't this what he's saying? Every time you go to God, ask Him. And He's willing to deliver you from your watermelon. Ask Him because there is an atonement. There's an intercessor. Does that make sense? All right, you guys can go back to your seats. Thank you. Hey, hold on. You're stuck with that for life, buddy. Sorry. Did you not get the message? You're stuck with this for life. Sit down. Have a seat there. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it. Because when you're a sinner, you're a sinner for life. And there's no getting out of that, right? Born in sin. Can I go a little further? Brother Branham said now, he said he often did this in the time before the prayer lines and the healing lines. He would teach on sin. And he said, all sickness is of the devil. You can't pin that on God. It's of the devil. How many believe that? Don't go around saying, well, God gave me this headache. God gave me this backache. All sickness is caused by sin. Before we had sin, we had no sickness. But sickness is an attribute of sin. Sickness came because of sin. And maybe not what you've done, but you inherited it. Three or four generations it'll follow. Wow. You didn't account for this. That's your grandfather's problem there. Hang on to that, will you? I'm just reading what he says here. Sin will actually follow multi-generationally. I know a girl who died of type 1 diabetes. And she inherited from her mother, who inherited from her mother. I know that girl. Nothing she did. So here's Brother Branham now letting us know that there are certain things that people struggle with that they didn't do a thing really to cause, but it's there. I love this quote. Watch what Brother Branham says. He says now, second-handed robe, Elijah said to Elisha, you better turn back because it may be a little hard. And I heard the pastor say this morning, Brother Branham says, I heard Brother Neville say this morning, many are becoming discouraged. And what we need, brother, is to take courage and to be encouraged. Trials may come. We never was promised to be immune from them, but he will give grace to go through them. Somebody ought to say amen. If the mountain's too high to go over and too deep to go under and too wide to go around it, he will give you grace to go through it. Just don't worry, but keep your eyes on Christ, for he's the only one can take us through. He's the only one can take us through. We can draw from all the wisdom and all the resources that are available out there. Hey, there's some people who've been benefited by taking medicines. There are some people who have taken medicines only to mask the problem. There are some people who have been benefited from medicines, right? And there are resources that are available out there. There are people who have talked to somebody who's wise and received good counsel, and so therefore they've been benefited from that. Other people, you know, it's interesting when you go back and you look in the book of 1 Kings there, and we took that text last Sunday where Elijah was after the great victory at Mount Carmel, and he went down the mountain and he left his servant and he went and just was by himself. Because people who get depressed, they often want to be by themselves. And he just wanted to be by himself. And he said to his servant, stay here. And he went and he lay down and he went to sleep. And then the angel came and roused him and said, here, eat this. And now, remember now, this is God's reaction to Elijah's depression or the effect of what he was going through. And remember now, Elijah thought that everybody basically had turned to Baal. And later on he says to God, I'm very jealous for the Lord God. He said, and it just seems like it's only me left. And so the angel comes and gives him a meal and he eats that and he goes back to sleep again. This is God's reaction now to this. God doesn't rebuke him. God's not harsh with him. And he wakes him up again after a while and he says, here, eat this because we know the journey is too great for thee. That's what the Bible says. And then the Bible talks about it in the very next verse about 40 days and 40 nights. He has a time. God allows him. Hey, he doesn't say, hey, you're a believer, man. You got an Elijah spirit and you're a prophet. After all, get up on your feet. Come on. I got enemies out there. We got to destroy all these other prophets that are still alive out there. He doesn't do that. He leaves them for 40 days and 40 nights. And he rests. And then when he finishes the 40 days and 40 nights, he gets them up on his feet. So it's almost like God put a guard around this prophet and said, back off. This is my servant here. And gives him a little space to gain strength again. You know what? You know what? We all need that. Because you can become overwrought. I can go around the room here and talk about overwrought. Makes my situation feel pitiful almost. How are we doing with the? Doing all right? Hard to do anything. I mean, you can't even look up verses in your Bible really easily, right? Because you're stuck with that sin. But here's Elijah now, and he's got this space where he can rest. God gives it to him. God allows him that space. And I think it's an important thing. I'll tell you this. I think it's a shame that a lot of times people get rushed out of hospitals now after they've gone through some sort of procedure or surgery or pregnancy. You know why? Because insurance says so. And they don't have time to rest. Don't have time to recuperate. Or even sometimes, you know, if there's a debt load so great that even the person that has a procedure and goes home, they might get a day or two off and that's it. They got to go right back again because... Someone said, someone told me the other day that I used to live paycheck to paycheck, but now I live from electronic deposit to electronic deposit. There's something about a space of time that's given to us to rest. It's a good thing. Because we don't always have to be operating at breakneck speed. You got it? We don't always have to be operating at breakneck speed. We don't always have to be operating in a panic like a type A person. You got to pity the people out there in the world who don't have resources at all. And so, after a while, they get burdened down with the load of sin, right? They get burdened down with the... I mean, where's he got to go? Where? Stand up if you don't mind there, pal. I mean, you got to go to work. You owe money. You got to go to work. Where do you go? Forget about them. Just here, answer my question here. Where do you go to get rid of this if you can't get rid of it? There's only one way. What? The Lord. You know what? If I see him, hold on right here. Hold on right here. Because he's starting to feel pretty bad. Look on his face. He's not acting. He's feeling pretty bad. So he starts to feel like, well, maybe I am a rotten, low down kind of a filthy guy. And you know what?
Okay.
This is just getting worse and worse, right? Hey, it's people in the world are bowed down with problems and everything else. You know what? All you ought to do to him? Joseph, hey, buddy, if I could take that from you, I would. I can't.
No.
But I know one who can.
Yes.
What am I going to do? I'm going to be a witness to him. There is a place. There is a person I know who can help you. Are you willing?
Yes, very.
Josh, come on back up again. We need you here. You know why? Because he's a Savior and a healer, isn't he? Isn't he a Savior and a healer? If you don't mind, get on the throne. He's got to come to you. He's got to come to you. Because you know what? He's discovered by now, he's got nowhere to lay down this burden of sin. He's got nowhere to go, right? Try drugs.
Yeah.
Try drinking.
Yep.
Tried opiates, right?
Yeah.
Bless your heart. Tried TV, right? Tried movies, tried friends, tried immoral lifestyle, tried everything. And you know what? Nothing relieves him of the burden of sin. Nothing makes him feel better. It does for the moment, but I mean, hey, he's hurting, right? He's struggling in life. And he's got a burden to bear, right?
Yes.
So now he becomes what we refer to as desperate. Wow. You know what he needs? Hold on.
Okay.
You know what he needs? He needs you. He needs you to open up your mouth and say, hey, buddy, I know what kind of struggles you're facing here. I was there. I know what this is like. Where's Mitchell? Mitchell be able to... I know what it's like to carry a watermelon. I know what it's like to carry a cantaloupe. I know. I need help. I need a resource. Where do you want to go?
Over there.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead him. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, because he cares. Look at this. For you. This is a photo moment, guys. This is a photo moment. Didn't Brother Branham tell us he's a Savior and a healer? God bless you, Joseph. Thank you. Let's stand to our feet. Picture's worth 1,000 words. Good job. There's only one place to get rid of sin. And it's an eternal atonement. You got somebody at your work, you got somebody at your school, you got somebody in your street that needs to lay down that burden of sin. You need to tell them, hey, there ain't no place you can lay it down. There's no movie theater. There's no drug parlor. There's no place you can lay it down. It's only at the foot of the cross. Because that's an eternal atonement. That atonement is still available. A believer is quick to give away that sin because he knows, hey, if I don't confess this and make it right with God, I'm stuck with this. He knows that. A believer knows that. But a sinner out there, he doesn't know that. He doesn't know where to go. And he needs somebody to lead him to the cross and say, here's where you lay this down. And thankfully, Jesus is still a Savior and a healer today. And I'd say this to you today, no matter what your burden is, no matter what your care is, no matter what your sickness is, and whether it's something spectacular, like you've got a physical condition, or whether it's entirely unspectacular, which means it's probably happening here between your two ears, he's still concerned about what you're going through. He's still concerned about your problem. So he says, Peter says, tell you what, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for us. No wonder Paul says in Romans chapter 5, therefore we joy in Christ Jesus who brought us the atonement. The atonement gives you the right to go to the cross. The atonement is the shedding of the blood to go to the cross so that you can say, Lord, I'm not here because I'm clean. I'm here because you're looking at me through the blood of that atonement. And that's why I can stand here and not die, not be evaporated in your holy presence here. That's the reason why. So, Lord, I'm coming on the basis of the atonement. I'm not coming on the basis of my conduct. I'm coming on the basis of the atonement because that's the way God sees you. And when God sees you, a sinner like him, with all of the watermelons and cantaloupes he's got piled up, he can still come to the cross and lay him down. He has access through the blood. Does that make sense? That's good news. He is able, more than able. Sing it now. To accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more I could ever. Thank you, Jesus. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. Today, believe it's possible. Now let me show you something. Eliza, come up here a second if you don't mind. Based on how life works, would you advise Eliza to surrender her life early to Christ rather than later in life? Let's just say Sister Molly had not surrendered her life to Christ. She'd be burdened down with all kinds of watermelons and cantaloupes. To me, it's an important thing that we reach her. Because you know what? She's going to live a much happier life, much better life at her age, free from sin, with her life under the guiding hand of Christ over those early years, living her teenage years for God. My goodness. Not that that's not possible. Not that that's not possible at 80 odd years old. But I mean, what a great thing when a young person surrenders their life to Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Eliza. Wow. That makes sense, doesn't it? Wow. He today. Believe you're forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My sins have been washed from His memory by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. He has forgiven. Sing it again now. Just believe it now today. Yes, He has. And my sins have been all washed in the glory by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. How many believe that you're actually forgiven from your sins by the blood of Christ? Well, hey, you got to deal with this, because Brother Branham said He's both the Savior and the healer, and the atonement made both things possible. So if you're saved, you can be healed by the same blood. It's not another divine act. It's not another ministry of Christ. It is an extension of the atonement that was made on your behalf. Claim it on the basis of the atonement, not on anything else. Claim it on the basis of the atonement. I hope that makes sense to you today. It makes sense to me. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. That's where we started. That's our text today. That's why Jeremiah said that. Lord, send Your word now. Lord, give me the message now. Let me understand this, Lord. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. Heal me, O Lord, and I. Sing it again now. You are the one I pray. right. We're going to dismiss you in just a moment here. But I want you to take advantage of this moment here. And if you need healing for sickness, need a healing for any kind of oppression, or any kind of physical issue, I want you to feel free to come as we sing this. All right? Would that be all right? Heal me, O Lord, and I.
Yeah.
Father God, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be able to sit at your throne, Lord, to be able to learn of you, to be able to realize how you brought such important things down to a level we could all understand. Lord, this is not just for the spiritual, for the prophets, messengers, Lord. It was for the common man who heard and believed and could grasp the obvious. In the name of Jesus Christ, I commit the people now into your hands, Lord. I know there are many needs among us, many concerns, many things that people suffer with, Lord, and sometimes, Lord, they just in many ways have resolved just to live with things. But Lord, we know you want us to be overcomers. You want us to be victorious. You want us to live above what Satan would try to pile on. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, may we be those that bear the sword, not in vain, but Lord, that we use the sword of the word as our weapon of choice against an enemy that would come against us in so many ways. We love you and we thank you. Pray, Lord, for those that are not here today. We especially remember Brother Anwar and ask, oh God, that you would just draw near to him and just help him, Lord, right where he is. Sister Stevens, Lord, and just so many others. Sister Angie, Lord, those that are suffering today, we commit them into your care. I want to say that we just love you and thank you for all you do for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed Jesus. Hallelujah. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. Who has broken down still in the building here? Weren't they here this morning? Okay. Sister Rose has kidney stones, and so we want to remember her. We've been asked to remember that this morning. So let's sing that little chorus one more time, and then we'll close in a word of prayer. She had to leave. She was here. All right. So we want to remember that need of prayer. Let's sing it again one more time, and let's go to prayer.
He is our peace. Who has broken down every wall? He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. Who has broken down?
God, we bow in your presence once again, Lord, and as your prophet taught us, we really can't pray too much. And Lord, we know there are many needs among us, many things, many concerns. Lord, we're asked to mention Sister Rose right before you, Lord, and her problems are many. But Lord, you're never intimidated by how we come to you or what volume of needs we bring to you. Lord, you just told us to come and cast our cares upon you. And so we do today. We bind our faith together and ask you, Lord, on behalf of Sister Rose, just to relieve her suffering. Touch her heart. Touch her life, I pray. Lord, do that great action in her heart that only the Holy Spirit can do. And we'll give you thanks and praise, Lord, for your work in her life. We love you and we thank you, Lord. And I know there are people now today that are here right in your presence right now, reaching out to you, Lord, as you pass by. And I pray that you would meet their need and touch their life. I commit them into your care. In Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Jesus. Sing it as you go this morning.
I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my healer. You sent your word.